We're not even into May, but we've been tested a lot already, right? Like we've seen some pretty low lows and we've seen some pretty high highs already. I think that bodes well to, you know, building that camaraderie and having the ability as a team to sustain both highs and lows.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Straight A's. Today, I'm joined by Jed Lowry, who is on stint number 3 with the A's at age 37. After missing nearly 2 seasons with a knee injury during his contract with the Mets, Jed is making a huge impact on the A's lineup this season. He discusses the conflict with the New York Mets that led to his delayed surgery, the key to playing all-star level baseball into his late 30s, and what makes this A's team special. So with that, here's Jed. I'd like to welcome Jed Lowry to the pod. Jed, you are back in Oakland. How does it feel to be back?
Feels great. You know, it's like I said many times, it feels like home. So, you know, that's like I said, very exciting, and we're playing well. It's a fun group of guys.
I want to just start with the win streak that you guys are coming off of. We heard a lot about riding the wave. I know that started from Chris Bassett and Jesus Luzardo and the starters, but I'm wondering what the vibe was during the win streak and how that compared to the losing streak at the beginning. Because a couple of players said that you guys had stronger chemistry during the losing streak. And I'm wondering how that could possibly be possible.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you would say we had stronger chemistry during, you know, it was a week ago, right? Like there were literally, we went from a 6-game losing streak starting, you know, what, 1-7 to a 13-game winning streak almost overnight. But no, I mean, we found ways to try to, you know, just get to know each other and, you know, spend a little bit more time. And I think that's important throughout the course of the season, is just getting to know your teammates and have that level of trust in everybody in the clubhouse.
How much have you guys grown together, would you say? I mean, there's a lot of the same players that have come year over year with this team, but there's also a few new players, and you're not new, but you played with some of these guys. But what's the difference between how you guys are feeling now and how you're feeling at the beginning of the season?
Well, those dynamics change throughout the course of any season, and you can bring back the same 25 guys. And every single year, the chemistry of the team, the vibe in the clubhouse is going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And so you there's no shortcut, right? You just kind of have to like figure it out as you go. You start out with, you know, from building a team, right? Like you try to put the best players with the, you know, best personalities that you can on a team. And, you know, you hope that it meshes. And so that's a very, like, very dynamic, almost living thing. And so it's kind of hard to say. I mean, even now, right? Like, we're not even into May, but we've been tested a lot already, right? Like, we've seen some pretty low lows and we've seen some pretty high highs already. And so I think that bodes well to, you know, building that camaraderie and, you know, having the ability as a team to sustain both highs and lows.
Matt Olson said that, and a couple other players have said that you've been a huge influence for them this year and in spring training, particularly when it comes to patience at the plate and, you know, just them being able to watch your approach has been helpful for them. What kind of advice or guidance are you giving some of your teammates, or is it more just a lead by example thing?
Generally speaking, you know, I think leading by example is the best way to do it. But, you know, we've had a lot of conversations with Ole and, you know, I philosophically just talking about hitting and mechanics and all of the aspects of hitting that are wrapped up into, you know, hitting a round ball with a round bat. I think it's you know, hitting is very, very personal too, right? Like there's an element to it that, you know, you can do it many different ways. There's no one way to go about it. So I think it's always a conversation more than anything else.
What do you think about some of your teammates? I mean, you were here in 2018, so you are familiar with Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, maybe Ramon Laureano a little bit, some other guys. What do you think about the way that they've grown from the last time you've seen them?
No, tremendously. I mean, I think you can see the maturity in the guys that I've played with in the past here, in their approach to the game and their perspective, and they're still young and dynamic, which is pretty exciting.
What do you think about the team as a whole? I mean, obviously, you know, it's not even May yet, like you've said, but what do you think about the makeup of the team compared to some of the other teams that you've been on in your long career? Does it feel special to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just refer back to what I said earlier, right? Like we are still in May, and that's a dynamic thing. Mm-hmm. I would say that the talent that's in the clubhouse and the personalities that we have, I would characterize that as special. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of how, you know, kind of how the season unfolds and how we are able to handle the challenges that the season will present.
I want to talk about you for a second. You're age 37, you're playing like your all-star self. What has been the key to your longevity in your baseball career?
I've always had a mindset of long-term, right? Like, you know, not being prepared for the moment, but also planning, you know, to play a long time. And I think a lot of that goes into body preparation. As an example, you know, and as a sophomore, I made Team USA, and we got some money from doing that, and I used that to go to the IMG Academy, mm-hmm. and, you know, learn about, you know, these new fitness ideas and sustainability and how I could take care of my body. So I, you know, that was something that I invested in even as a teenager is, you know, how can I sustain a level of performance for the longest time possible. So I think it's probably a mindset, you know, just as much as anything else, because, you know, if you aren't in that mindset that you're going to play a long time, then you're not going to put in the preparation that it takes to do it on a day-to-day basis.
So you're saying that off-season work, and it sounds like a little, I mean, players say it all the time. I put in my off-season work. I work with people in my hometown. And that's important to, you know, keeping myself up.
Yeah.
I feel like that sort of gets glossed over a little bit just in the conversation about how players stay prepared. And that's not, this isn't a takeaway from team coaching staff, training staff, everything, but how important is it to find someone that you can trust that you work with during the off season? And what does that look like for baseball players in the off season? Cause it's, you know, off season, everyone's kind of, they're paying attention to other sports, but how important is that off season work?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably, it is, it's the foundation of everything that you do, the following year. You know, if you don't start your preparation at the right time, or you don't have the proper buildup, you're going to start out behind, and you're only going to, you know, go downhill from there, physically. And so, it's vitally important that a guy, you know, finds something that works for him and has the proper, buildup to be ready to play 162 games.
Unless it's too tedious, can you give a little peek into what you have to do in the off season on a very routine basis to stay in baseball shape when you're not just playing baseball?
Sure. Yeah, no, I usually, you know, when the season ends, I usually take a couple weeks off depending on the workload and health, going into the off season. And then, you know, it's really only, you know, like 10 days to 2 weeks where I take off and I kind of let my body, you know, just kind of decompress. But then it's kind of a gradual buildup from there, like very basic, movements, a lot of eccentric load that, you know, helps build up, you know, your foundational strength and you know, just loads the tendons and ligaments in a way that allows you to build the more explosive movements as the off season goes on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the guy that I work with in the off season, he breaks things down into phases. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, I don't want to speak too, you know, definitively on, you know, hit the philosophical ideas behind his phases, but I do know that it starts out very basic with, you know, very fundamental stuff and kind of builds up, from there.
What kind of fundamental stuff in particular? Like what does that mean?
Joint stability, joint integrity. You know, so it's not like I'm going, you know, the first week of workouts I'm going and I'm squatting, you know, a ton of weight, or I'm, you know, pushing a lot of weight. It's a lot of body movement. It's a lot of core stability. It's a lot of joint integrity work, to make sure that, you know, that when I do get into those type of movements that foundationally, like when I say foundationally, that the joints, ligaments, tendons, all that stuff are in a good position to handle the workload.
I want to get into your time with the Mets. I know it maybe might be a touchy subject, but I feel like this is a good opportunity maybe just to have your voice heard on something that's been talked a lot in the media, just without your voice in clarity. I know you've expressed some frustrations with your time with the Mets, and especially regarding the timing of your knee surgery. And you told us a few months ago, sometimes when you're under contract, your medical decisions are not under your control. So given what you've told us and what has been discussed in the media, what would you like to say to set the record straight about the decision process and what wasn't said?
I mean, ultimately, you know, my statement's not going to change. There was a medical disagreement and, you know, ultimately the organization has the authority to make the final decision when it comes to medical issues.
And there was a difference of opinion in terms of what you wanted and what they wanted.
Correct.
How do you feel now that everything went down? And do you feel like there was some misunderstanding from the public about that disagreement?
Probably, but once again, I'm more concerned with, my health and, how that plays out in the media. I'm not going to try to control that. Like I said, the only thing I care about is, you know, my health.
What exactly was the pain that you were going through? Because the medical term that we understand it to be seems very technical. What can you explain what it felt like to go through that injury?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not a doctor. Mm-hmm. All I can do is explain, you know, anecdotally, what I've experienced and what I've learned about it, and what I've learned, you know, that I had a fat pad impingement. And what I've learned about the fat pad is that it's just a very innervated, structure in the knee. And so, when that was, you know, constantly being pinched in pretty much everything that I was doing, it basically, the more I did, the more it hurt. And, the only time I got relief was when I was wearing this rehab brace.
And when did the pain start? Do you remember?
It probably started like in that really like, you know, bad burning pinching was probably May of 2019.
You got the surgery in October of this. You got it October 2020. And what was the rehab like for you?
It was the doctor told me 4 to 6 weeks where I would be, you know, kind of going through that like partial, you know, disability of rehab, right? Where like I'm able to do things, but I'm not cleared. And then at 6 weeks, I was cleared to start doing, you know, more heavy loaded things and just kind of progress from there. And, you know, there was a lot of retraining that happened, particularly with my quad. That was the biggest, the biggest concern. And still to this day, you know, I still have to really focus on quad strength on my left leg. But, you know, just given the impingement and the, you know, the restricted range of motion in my kneecap because of the impingement, quad strength was the focus.
That quad strength, because it's above the knee where it was hurting, so it's sort of like a compensation issue, or is that just part of the overall injury?
You know, because I had the PCL injury as well, I think that was the, you know, what I understand is that the quad strength was there to help support the PCL. And then, you know, I think the quad function was a matter of, you know, the kneecap moving freely again. So I can't speak to, you know, I can't speak to technically what, you know, I'm sharing with my, you know, my understanding of what was
happening. What's on your mind. Like that's
Not even what's on my mind, like what was shared with me, like, you know, what the focus needed to be.
Got it. Just one follow up on the Mets situation. What was their reasoning for not allowing you to get the surgery?
You know, I think their concern was that, you know, it could potentially make it worse if we did surgery. And you know, that's one of the reasons that I heard.
Did it come from, how far up top did it come from? Was it something that just trickled down through the training staff, or was it where does that decision come from?
I have no, that level of organizational dynamics, I'm not fully aware of. So I really can't say.
All you know is that you were told that you were not allowed to get the surgery, even though you chose to get it. Or you would have chosen to get it.
Right. I approached them and said that this is, you know, this is how I've been diagnosed, and this is a, you know, potential solution.
Okay. I want to get to some fun stuff now, just to round it out. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got it.
Who is your favorite at bat to watch on your team?
Ooh. I would say, between Canna and Olson right now, they're both, you know, Canna's just been, you know, having professional at bat after professional at bat. And, you know, Olson is, I mean, he's swinging the bat really well. And, so those two guys are, you know, fun to watch. It's nice to be in between them too.
Yeah, that helps. Who, I know you faced some of your pitchers, you guys' pitchers in the, at the facility during spring training, but who's the nastiest pitcher that you faced on the A's or in any other year?
Sure. I mean, we got some guys with some good stuff. I mean, I think, you know, both Frankie and Lizardo both have, you know, really overpowering stuff. And when they get ahead and command the zone, it's tough at bat.
Who's the nastiest pitcher you've ever faced in your entire career?
Oh, man. You know, that's funny because, you know, stuff doesn't always necessarily dictate. I mean, listen, I think I've had it's just funny how baseball works. Cause
yeah,
you know, I think Hector Santiago is a guy that I've probably had 25, 30 at bats off of. And I don't think I have a hit off of him. I probably only struck out a couple times and I don't have a hit off him. So, I mean, numbers wise, like, you know,
right.
he's just a guy that I don't know, for some reason I've never had success against, but nobody would say he has, you know, overwhelming stuff. But then right. there's, you know, there's guys that do have, and increasingly more and more in this game, you know, guys have, you know, closer stuff and they're, you know, starters.
So it's not necessarily who has the best stuff, but it's just who don't you see well? Cause there's a huge
difference. I think, exactly. Like how you pick up the ball, like, you know, the environment, whatever it is. Right. But like, you know, obviously, you know, there are guys who have that overwhelming stuff that can be, you know, more uncomfortable is probably a better way to describe it.
Well, that's all I got for you, Jed. Thank you so much for joining and
you got it.
For sharing everything that you shared. Yep. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you to Jed Lowry for joining the show. You can follow my A's coverage all season long at San Jose Mercury News and on Twitter at Shayna Rubin. Till next time.